You're listening to Mind Your Own Business. Hi, I'm Scott Sullivan, your host. Mind Your Own Business is a weekly show that we do talking to some of the greatest CEOs and entrepreneurs, helping you to be better at being a business professional by learning from all of the experience that these entrepreneurs and CEOs bring from all around the world. Exclusively here on Inspired News Radio. And now it's time for Mind Your Own Business.
Well, it's a great day right here at Inspired News Radio. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Mind Your Own Business. This is Scott Sullivan. I'll be your host for the next 50 minutes to an hour. And every week, just like this week, I am bringing you fantastic entrepreneurs, people that are making a difference. I usually say one day at a time or one person at a time, but today I'm going to be saying one haircut at a time. And the reason why is because we have Cebu Walker with us today, the owner, founder, and the guy who's doing it all, the master barber of the Fading Theory Barbershop out of Maryland. Cebu, welcome to Mind Your Own Business. And how the heck are you today, brother?
Well, thank you so much for having me. I definitely appreciate it. I'm doing great. Love to be on the phone with you here.
Well, that's fantastic. We are so glad that you're here. We love talking to entrepreneurs from all over the world. And today we're all the way across the country out in Maryland, right outside. You have two locations, one in Aberdeen and one in downtown Baltimore. Is that right?
That's correct. Baltimore City, the actual little subdivision is called Laurelville. It's right off of Harford Road in Baltimore City.
And then another location in Aberdeen, and you are the founder of this concept. And I want to talk just give us 5 minutes about what, you know, the Fading Theory Barbershop, what it's all about and why it's so unique first. And then we're going to dive into the origin story, which is what my listeners love to hear.
Absolutely. Well, what makes the Fading Theory unique is that we are people who are rich in tradition of barbering and the tonsorial arts. We know our history. We go back to leaders and, you know, emperors and you know, kings and so forth. We've always been there. We were considered, you know, the barber surgeons back in the day. And we were really well-renowned in the community. And we want to kind of bring that high esteem back to barbering because we feel like it's fell off a little bit over the last 60 to 70 years or so. And we just want to make it a place where you can go, feel comfortable, nice environment, learn a little bit about varied topics, and also get a great haircut and a great service.
And that's, so you're not a $6 quick cuts then. I mean, obviously that's not the format here. You're talking old school, real barber chairs, real hot towels, real environment, real, going back into that rich history. And you also threw a word out there. Let's talk about tonsorial. So, my listeners, are probably not, unless you're a man of a certain age, like myself, you probably never heard that word before. So tell us what that means. But I think back of the old barber, you know, when you talk about the barber surgeon, this was the time when you went to the barber for just about everything in your town, because that was the most skilled person that you had. I mean, in some towns, the barber was the doctor.
Absolutely. I mean, it's like I said, it's an original word. It refers to and deals with, you know, the art of hair and hair cutting and the person who does it. It's not something that we do. It's a 5-minute thing. It's, you know, a rush job. It's a number. We want the quality to be there. We want the environment to be there. We want the experience to be there. I guess I got to stop that alarm.
we definitely are alarming.
Okay, yeah. Let me turn that off. And it's funny, I thought I turned all that stuff off, so I apologize. So I
guess no problem at all. So when you say the tonsorial, so you'll have to look that word up, guys, but it has to do with, it actually comes from Latin. I actually did look it up because I wanted to make sure I had this for the show, but it comes from, the Latin tonsori, which was at the time was anything to do with, with cutting, clipping the, you know, doing a coif, you know, getting, sure, getting someone ready to, and it wasn't just men. In the old days, it was men and women, and it's kind of been adopted by the male gender now. So you kind of hang out at the barbershop. And also, there's some theories or some urban legends and some stories around the red and white barber pole. What, tell us a little bit about that, too, before we dive in.
Sure, absolutely. Well, basically, it's a worldwide symbol of the barber world. And the short story is that, again, we used to be called barber surgeons. So not only did we cut hair, we did tooth pulling, we did bloodletting, and other minor surgeries. And one of the reasons we were able to do that, because as barbers, we were one of the only people or groups of people that could cut in straight lines, so precise cuts to have minor surgeries. So when you look at the barber pole, you typically see red, white, and blue stripes and something spinning and a pole with like a little round top and a round bottom. So what that comes from is back in the day when we used to do these surgeries, way back before either one of us was walking the earth, you all seen the old movies, The Mummy and Frankenstein. You see a mummy walking with his hands out and see his bandages around him hanging down. We've all pictured that. So that's what they used back then to tie off arms to stop blood, you know, a tourniquet. And in the process of doing these type of surgeries, the tourniquet or those bandages would get wet from blood, so they would turn red. So what happens, they didn't have typical washing machines and so forth. This is way back in the day, so everything was washed by hand. And they weren't able to be crisp white again. So they still had a pinkish hue to them, even after they're cleaned. They also didn't have fancy dryers and things like that. This is, you know, way back in the day. So they used to have to hang those bandages up in the air in front of the building to let them dry. So we can all can picture these long bandages hanging down, and they're kind of stained a little bit from the blood. So what happens when these long bandages are hanging and drying? The wind would take them and start to spin them. And as they spin, they would tighten. Everybody can picture that. And then at some point, they get tight. Then they start to spin the other way back down. So when you see a barber pole spinning, that's showing that's how the bandages used to spin. The red represents the blood. The blue represents the veins in your arm. So when you look at your arm, they kind of look bluish, the veins. And the white represents the bandages. So that's where you get the red, white, and blue. And the spinning is from the actual bandages being blown around in the wind. The chrome bottom base that you see on barber poles, that used to set on the ground or on a little stoop. And that used to catch blood when we used to do bloodletting. A lot of people aren't familiar with that, but that's basically, we used to tie off your arm and insert what you would modern day look like a tube to do blood transfers. So they used to think that when someone got sick or ill, that they could puncture the vein, insert a tube, and let the blood drain out into a bowl. And when that blood drained out, it would drain out the sickness as well. So that's, believe it or not, crazy, but that's what they used to do back in the day. And some people, unfortunately, died. Why? Because they let too much blood out. Yeah. And you get lightheaded, and then you die. A lot of people died, but some people didn't. And if you didn't die, guess what? I guess you were healed and you just recovered over time as your body regenerated blood. But that chrome cylinder round part of the barber pole, that's what caught the blood that was being drained from bloodletting, and that what was on the ground. So that's where you get all the pieces of the actual barber pole.
That's amazing. So that is so cool. But thank goodness, I don't think there's any bloodletting going on over at the Fading Theory, though, I'm sure, right?
No, absolutely not. I don't think it's going on anywhere. And just a side note, there's a pretty famous person who died as a result of bloodletting. Do you happen to know who that is?
I'm going to say somebody like a George Washington or a Thomas
Jefferson. That's funny. That's who it was. Very good guess. George Washington, he was sick. But as a process of trying to heal them, they did bloodletting, and that is called what causes death.
Well, I can understand it. I was trying to think of something back, you know, a few centuries back. So I was trying when you said famous, I was trying to pick something like that. So, so I should buy a lottery ticket tonight for sure. That's for sure.
Definitely. No doubt.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about the origin story. My listeners absolutely love, you know, it's one of those things that I get probably the most comments through social media on when people listen to my show. They say, Scott, I love the fact that, you know, that this person is so successful and they're just crushing it now. And I just couldn't do that. But then when they hear the origin story, they go, you know, Bill Gates, you know, I can never be worth $60 or $70 billion. But sure, when they find out he's a young, nerdy kid that got bullied in school, you know, and dropped out of college, they kind of go, hey, if he can do it, I can do it. Right. So everybody has to start somewhere. So let's pick a time somewhere just on the time continuum that's called your life. And tell us about Cebu when you were a younger man and kind of how you got your feet on the path. I mean, you know, what kind of brought you to the fact is, you know, one day I'm just going to pick up a pair of shears and or a clippers and I'm going to be a barber. I mean, how does that happen? Did you grow up in a family where your dad took you to the barbershop every week, or how did this come about in your life?
So absolutely. Well, it's a pretty interesting story. Originally in the barber world and haircutting had nothing to do with my life at all. Just like every young boy, I went to the barbershop. My dad took me or my mom took me in. The barbershop happened to be across the street from where we lived. My family owned a restaurant that my mom and dad ran in Frederick, Maryland, this small suburb of D.C. And it was called Danny's Place. And it was a diner-type restaurant. And our apartment was upstairs. So we lived in the apartment upstairs. So we were always down in the actual restaurant running around as little kids getting into trouble, always wanting candy, always pointing to whatever we wanted, because of course you're the kids of the parents who own the place. So that was a very interesting time. Our older siblings were grown and off on their own. So it was just me and my younger brother. And growing up there, you kind of get a different sense of what you want to do. Seeing your parents have their own business and run their own business, and you see that every day, it becomes normal to you. And it's one of those things where that's all we saw when we were younger. And so I kind of knew at some point I was going to be doing something on my own. I just didn't know what it was. And it's one of those things where I'm pretty sure that had a giant effect on what makes me now. It's kind of hard to imagine doing something else when that's all you've seen. And it's just a matter of getting out there and finding a way to actually do it. So, you know, growing up, I tried to dabble in the food business a little bit because my family was in it, and it's kind of felt like what was kind of expected or what was wanted. And I did that for a number of years as I grew and, you know, got older. But it was never really something that was in my heart or something that I wanted to do. It was just something I was doing. In the back of my head, I always wanted to do something else. I just didn't know what the something else was. Obviously I was, you know, going to the barbershop of a young man. They had a female barber, Miss Joyce. And, I remember being a really pretty lady. I remember her with a white barber jacket on and dark hair and a fair skinned woman. And her image is etched in my head. And I remember thinking how many people really liked her and respected her. Like, everybody was always laughing and smiling, and she always had some conversation or some insight or something about whatever the topic was. It didn't matter. And I always thought that, you know, either she's super, super smart or super, super popular or super likable or something, because everybody gravitated to her. And I just didn't know why as a kid. I just thought she was just a nice person. But later on, you would learn, you know, that position as barber opens you up to so many different things. You're part counselor, you're part marriage counselor, you're part legal advice or counsel or anything, because anyone can bring up anything at any time, and you're just that man or woman who can just have a conversation and keep it going, and sooner or later the word spread and everybody's just coming to you when they're sitting in the chair with their problems or concerns or even good things. It's just the center of that little world, the barber, and it's a very important position.
Yeah, sports announcer. So, whatever the topic is, politician. Yes, it's and it's always somebody said one time. One of my guests on the show owned a bar and a restaurant, and he said, you know, being a bartender is like being a therapist. And I said, not as much as a barber.
Not even close.
I mean, because a bartender, serving a lot of people, and a bartender's running back and forth through the whole bar, whereas barber is focused on one human being right there. I mean, you're getting one-on-one.
You're focused for that hour or 30 minutes or whatever it is, you have your, you know, undivided attention, and it's something you can't really get in a lot of other places. And it's a pretty amazing experience, and it's really something that I wouldn't trade for anything.
Well, if it's done right. So let's first of all qualify it and tell everybody that if you're looking at the fading theory, you know, if you're looking at that as, you know, the right place, making sure that the fading theory is not your, this is not what a barbershop is today. Especially if you're in the hustle and bustle of a big city and you're running in for a quick, you know, trim around the ears or whatever. And, you know, you have to walk in and put your name on a list and somebody has to call you. You're not at the fading theory.
Yeah, exactly. Well, see, that's the thing. It's something for everybody. You know, there's, you know, pick any brand name around the country in whatever state or city you live in. And there's a brand name place that you can go in and get a quick cut. You know, usually it's a lot of people sitting in there, and there's a lot of women sometimes sitting in there, and everybody can picture what those cuts are and what those places are. And a lot of them, most of them, in fact, are not real barbershops. And I'll tell you what I mean by real. Most of those shops are salons or hair salons. They're kind of branded as a barber experience, but they're not. They imply that they do barber services, but they do not. There's one particular company that I'm thinking of, and part of their actual commercial is that I see on TV, they say, you know, come in for our old school hot towel finish. But there's nothing old school about a hot towel finish, because they're not saying hot towel shave like what we do or what true barbers do, because here in Maryland, by law, they can't do an old school shave because their license doesn't qualify them to do it. They haven't been trained to do it. But they know people like you and myself and old school people remember the old school shaves, and they remember the finish with the hot towel after. So they try to imply that that's what they're going to get at that particular place. But they're not getting a shave. They're just getting a hot towel at the end of the haircut. And when you go in there, you're thinking you're getting a razor, but no one ever questions, hey, why don't they ever clean up my neck or my ears or whatever with the razor? It's because they can't. They're not real barbers. Most of them are cosmetologists who can cut hair too, but they can't pick up a razor in the state of Maryland because they're not trained to. That's why you never see them do it.
Well, that's great. And so that's one thing we should tell our listeners right now, that if you're looking for that experience, right? So when Cebu and I talked about this earlier, we talked about, you know, being men of a certain age and growing up in a barbershop. The barbershop was sort of like the hub. It was like the men's club, the early men's club. Everybody, you know, especially Saturdays, the place was like packed, and it was always the place to hang out. And the one thing I was saying is that if you have to put your name on a list and somebody asks, when you walk into the fading theory, if you've been there one time before or 100 times before, it's, hey, Scott, welcome back. Sit down, man. Take a load off. Grab a magazine. We'll be right with you. We've got a conversation going on over here about football. We got, you know, one over here talking about politics. So just jump in wherever you can. See, that's a barbershop. That's the experience that you have. And then having that, it smells like a barbershop. It feels like a barbershop. It has those old big giant barber chairs that, you know, that actually lay you back.
Exactly. Well, you know, you hit on a lot of good points there. And, you know, our chairs I'm in Aberdeen right this second taking the call. And these chairs are from the 1950s. And, you know, the 1950s are a period of time that's vastly different than 2020. You know, my chairs that I have here now, they were originally teal and tan because that's the way they looked back then. And even though I could have left them that way, I updated the color just to match more modern times, because we still have the old school chairs, but they're looking more modern. They're 2 to 3 times heavier than a new chair if you went and bought it wherever you will buy a barber chair now, because back in the day, they were quality chairs. They were heavy metal. They were made in Chicago factory. They produce quality, beautiful chairs. And, you know, you'd be hard-pressed to try to move one of them by yourself. That's how heavy they are. They're average 300 to 450 pounds per chair. The new chairs are half of that or less in weight, and you can easily move them around by yourself and can even lift one. It's not the same quality as it used to be. back in the day, and that's one of the reasons that we sought out these old chairs and wanted them as part of our shop. We went and got these chairs from Buffalo, New York. There was a shop there that was closing down after about 20 years of service, and we searched out and found those, and then took a trip down there, rented a trailer, and took a trip to Buffalo. It was about a six-hour drive at the time, and got caught in a snowstorm when we got there, and just barely was able to load the chairs up and get back on the highway and make it back to Maryland before the real snowstorm hit, which was a real bona fide, can't see, you know, 10 feet in front of you snowstorm, but we beat it only by 30 minutes or so. But those chairs were important to me, and I really wanted them. The chairs in our Baltimore location, they're from the 60s, not quite as old, but they're still really different looking chairs than what you would find in a regular barber supply store currently. And
Or in like the salon.
Oh, night and day difference. It's not even made to do the same thing. So you're right. You could pick up a salon chair easily and just carry it across the room. Nothing like it compared to a barber chair, an old school barber chair.
Yeah. And then, you know, the other things we talked about, too, is that so your mom and dad they modeled for you what an entrepreneur looked like. You grew up, I could picture you growing up in Frederick at the diner at Danny's place where, you know, you get to a certain age and you watch your mom and dad count the money at night, and they close the door. They make sure the dishes are done. They wipe down everything. They get ready for the next day. You get a little bit older. You're doing some prep. You're bussing tables. I mean, I could see growing up your entrepreneurship was being modeled to you and your younger brother as you were growing up. So you didn't have a choice in the world. I mean, you were already runt, as they say.
Absolutely.
Runt.
Absolutely.
You were going to be an entrepreneur because mom and dad modeled that for you at a very early age. You weren't going to be able to, you know, if your dad's a policeman, chances are there's a good chance you might, you know, grow up to be a policeman. Your dad's a entrepreneur, there's a good chance you're going to grow up, you know, seeing that being modeled and then wanting to have part of that. So 2004 is when you opened your first store. Is that right? I mean,
that is
2014.
Correct. Well, 2014, you're right. It was the concept was before that, and I had the idea, I had the name down, and I had everything in motion, but we didn't officially open that store until just about 5 years, almost 5 years ago. In July 2020, it'll be 5 years since I opened the first location in Baltimore.
And I want to talk a little bit now about the future. So not only are you looking to expand, so those of you right now that are listening to the sound of my voice, you're going, man, that sounds so fantastic. Oh my gosh, this sounds like a great experience. I'd love to do that. But you're in Kansas or you're in Florida and you can't get to Maryland on a regular basis. Then, you know, sure, we understand that, but you get a hold of Cebu, you go to thefadingtheory.com and you put in some information, you get on social media and grab a hold of Cebu's information. He'll help you find your local barber and he'll make sure that you have, go to his Q&A and make sure that you look at, you know, his recommendation are what things to look for when you walk in. If you walk in and you see this, this, and this, you're in a pretty good place. If you walk in and see this, this, and this, maybe you're not in the right place. Is that a true statement, what I'm saying there, Cebu?
Absolutely true. Like I said earlier, you know, the barber industry, unfortunately, has taken a downturn over the last, you know, 70 years or so. Unfortunately, let's just be honest here. There's a lot of shady activity in some barbershops. There are some, you know, funny transactions going on in back rooms. There's, you know, let's just be honest. There are, you know, people who are in those shops, you know, operating without licenses, who are doing just some shady under the table kind of things that you wouldn't want to take your kids to. You wouldn't want to take your spouse to and sit down and be a part of that. You wouldn't want to take your granddad to, because you're not sure if the police are going to run in any second and have everybody laying down on the floor, because that's the kind of environment it is. This is not what we're about. And there's certain things that you need to look for and you don't have to deal with. Unfortunately, in our community, the black community, there's barbershops everywhere. But you get into a position where you think you have to accept those kind of behaviors, and you don't, because we're here and there are people like us here. If you don't see barber licenses on the wall or at the barber station, that's a red flag. That's not a choice. That's Maryland law. If you don't see certain things happen, that's not a choice. You have to sweep up after every haircut. You have to sanitize your products and implements. You have to do hand washing or sanitizer. It's something you have to do that there's no choice but to do if you're doing things the right way. But when they don't happen in so many different places, some of us get to thinking that's just the way it is and we can't do anything about it. And the language is always going to be inappropriate, or it's always going to be some shady activity somewhere, but I have no choice. You do have a choice. You absolutely have a choice. You can come to a place like the Fading Theory where it looks nice, it smells nice, the chairs are nice, it's licensed, it's insured, we're trained, we're educated. This is not a hobby. This is not something I do to pass time. I do this 7 days a week, 13 hours a day, forever. And it's something that I want to expand and be in every state. Picture, you know, any fast food place that you can think of, any brand name. Picture any place that you can see multiple locations when you travel from state to state. That's what I want the Fading Theory to be. I want you to be able to go in a mall in Kansas, in a strip center in California, in Kentucky, in Idaho, in New York, in anywhere, and see our logo and say, hey, I know them. I saw them in Fortune 500, or I know they're from Maryland, or I saw an interview from the founder. And you know what that logo and symbol means. It means quality. It means old school barbers with modern style and modern technology. It means a respectful atmosphere. You won't hear any crazy conversations or crazy put downs of cultures. You're only going to see uplifting behaviors with good haircuts in our facilities. And that's what we're trying to take across the country. And we're doing it one shop at a time. We have two. We just opened our new location here in Aberdeen. And we're going to have that grand opening coming up soon in 2 weeks on the 4th of March. And our goal is to open a shop every 3 to 5 years in some other area. That's the goal.
Well, if you are listening to the sound of our voices right now and you are intrigued, not only can you go to thefadingtheory.com and see what we're talking about. I mean, Cebu puts it right out there in black and white. He says, look, guys, no foul language, no smoking. This is a good, wholesome place. You can bring your son. You can bring your grandfather. You don't have to worry about it. It's a great family environment. Come on in. Very, very comfortable. Really, really nice place and absolutely fantastic haircuts. If that intrigues you, if you look at that and you go, hey, our town needs one of those, then I encourage you to fill out the form that's there, the contact me page on thefadingtheory.com. Get in touch with Cebu and let's see if we can accelerate that new location coming to your town. Hey, you may want to be an entrepreneur too, and Cebu just might be the perfect partner for you, right? We may be getting a Fading Theory right here in my hometown.
You never know, and it's something, like I said, that's our goal. You know, I want to eventually do a franchise situation where we're in every place, and we know there are other people who feel like we do, who appreciate what I'm talking about and want that in their city and want to be a part of that, either because you're a barber somewhere in some state or right now in Maryland, and you're working at a place that's just not the way it should be. You know the sanitation is not right. You know it's unlicensed behavior is going on. You know it's just not professional, but you feel trapped. You feel stuck. You feel like you can't get to a better situation because you have no option. You do have an option. You can come to work and like the place you work, like being there, like looking around, like the smell, like the atmosphere, like the chairs, like the education that we provide about history and about what the future of the industry is going to be. You can be a part of that. Just reach out to me and let's talk about it.
Absolutely. So now what I want to talk about, and I think this is fantastic. First of all, thank you very much for all that background. My gosh, just to be able to throw out the word tonsorial and so that people know what real barbers do and that they have if they don't know what a razor strop is, go look it up. If they don't know, you know, what a lather machine is, go look it up. I mean, this is old school barbering with brand new technology and brand new environment. So I love it. And I love what you guys are putting out there. But I want to talk about now is the best part. So If you want to experience that right now, if you can't get to Maryland today, you can't just get on a plane and fly out and get a haircut, get your ears lowered a little bit. Today is the day you can go on thefadingtheory.com, thefadingtheory.com, the whole thing strung together. You have got a line of products that are now. See, this is a new concept for me, because the barber I went to, he didn't say, "Hey, by the way, you know, let me show you this great line of products that I have that's going to help make your hair, you know, keep your moisture in, take care of your curly hair, your straight hair. Here's some beard oil for you." I mean, none of that. I had none of that, you know, growing up. The guy cut your hair, took your $20, and said, "Now get out of here, kid."
You're true.
You're so true.
Yeah.
Talk about the line of products. So you have curated this new line of products. I mean, this is family formula. This is you, after all of the experience, bringing something to the world, because I can get a little taste of the Fading Theory all the way out here in California. So tell us about the line of products. Tell us about how it came about and what are the things I should know about.
Sure, absolutely. Well, the line of products came up about two and a half years ago. Started thinking about it right from the beginning 5 years ago, but, you know, it takes time to formulate and develop and come up with different concepts. But the idea is to start small and build on that and then grow into much bigger opportunities. So we try to cover everybody. We have a beard oil, which everybody who has facial hair needs. And what this does is help to coat and treat the underlying skin under the hair, as well as the hair that you're trying to maintain, the actual beard. We have beard wash, which you shouldn't be washing your face, your beard, with regular body wash or soap. No. You should use our particular beard wash. And if you can't get to it, then you can use another beard wash, but you need to use something. But we prefer ours naturally.
So tell us why. Why shouldn't I wash my beard? So I've got a, you know, full beard, you know, sideburns, the whole nine yards. I've got 4 or 5 inches of facial hair. Why shouldn't I understand the beard oil, because you need to put that moisture back in. Is the shampoo stripping out the hair, or what? What's the reason?
Well, your facial hair is not the same as the head on your hair. If you ever feel your hair, it feels completely different for the most part. The shampoos and body washes and soaps, they're just too harsh. They're just not made and formulated to work on that particular grain of hair. It's something that is just generalized. It's, you know, it's just on the shelf in your local whatever, in the grocery store, and you're just grabbing it, and it's not made for it. It's too harsh. It strips out the necessary proteins and minerals and vitamins. It strips your oil of the natural sebum, which is a coating that's naturally happening, and it's just not something that long term is going to benefit your hair growth. There's things on the market that will grow hair. We've been growing hair in laboratories for a long time, and so they will grow different parts on your crown of your head, but there's nothing really to help generate growth outside of a laboratory on your facial hair or the rest of parts of your head. We're working towards that. And if you're starting with just the basics, with the shampoos and oils and whatever, you're putting your beard in the best case scenario to have optimal growth.
Excellent. Okay. So I've got the Alpha Beard Oil. I've got the Alpha Beard Wash. What else do I need? Now, talk to me too. Like, I mean, I've got straight hair being a Caucasian man, but what if I've got curly hair? What if I'm a man of color and I need that little extra bit of body?
Absolutely. Well, that's the great thing about what we do here is we are a multicultural shop. We service straight hair or curly hair. That's cutting and our product service both. You hear some people say in different areas and just in conversations, you hear, oh, they have so-and-so has white hair or so-and-so has black hair. Well, let me just change that narrative right now. There is no such thing as white hair or black hair. Get that out of your mind. There is straight hair and there's curly hair and variations of the both. That's what it is. It's not white hair or black hair. We at The Fading Theory, we cut straight hair and curly hair, and our products are made for straight hair and curly hair. We have shampoo. We conditioner. We have pomade for the straight hair, and we have Omega Wave for the curly hair to help formulate and maintain your wavy hair. We cover it all.
Okay, and that is my pomade also. So I'm looking for something because my hair is thin, and I'm looking for something for the scalp. Is that what I use the pomade for, that to hold, not only to hold my style, but to also condition my scalp?
Absolutely. Well, the pomade is going to be more for directing your hair in the way you want to go and to actually treat and condition your hair. If you want to manage your scalp and take care of your scalp, then you're going to use our shampoo or our conditioner. That is made to directly influence the scalp and the hair growing from your head.
Excellent. Okay. And those are available. So the reason why I wanted to mention that is because you may not be able to fly out and jump on a plane and get a haircut at the Fading Theory, you know, in person, but you could take a little piece of it home with you. So if you are, obviously if you're anybody that has facial hair or hair on their head, then you need to be going to thefadingtheory.com. and looking at the product section, and I can buy them right from the website, correct?
You can buy them right from the website. We're just getting ready to restock, and we can get that shipped out to you. Doesn't matter. As long as you're in the U.S., the continental U.S., we can get that out to you, and you can have a piece of Maryland right wherever you are. We sell a lot to military families who were stationed here in Maryland at some point and then end up going to California or wherever they're based at. Once they've tried the products here, they love them so much that they want to take them with them. So they order right online, or they order a case when they're leaving and take a case with them. And it's one of those things where you can still have a piece of Maryland wherever you are. You don't have to give it up just because you're miles away from us.
That's excellent. So I got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, listening to me right now and listening to Cebu hanging out today, it has been a fantastic pleasure to have you hanging out on Mind Your Own Business. Every week I say it, and I say it time and time and time again, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart. I couldn't do what I do without you, the listener. Thank you so much for the feedback. Go to thefadingtheory.com. Just go to thefadingtheory.com. Check out the website. Check out what a real old school barbershop should look like with new technology. Look through the red flags. Make sure you're going to the right place. Do me a favor. Get on Facebook. Get on Twitter. They are on Instagram. They've got all kinds of social media out there. You can't miss it. Most of it is just The Fading Theory, where you can get to it. We're going to post all the links up on Inspired News Radio so that you can find them. Listen, get connected with Cebu on all those social media platforms. If you're interested in, you know, having a fading theory in your backyard, you might be the perfect entrepreneur. If you're like Cebu said, if you're a hairstylist and, you know, you're ready to do something, go back and get your barber's license, and you could be running a fading theory in your own hometown, as part of this culture that we're moving to, which is let's get back to the barbershop being the focal point of hanging out and being a good, positive environment and changing the way, you know, where we get our haircuts and what we do. I have to tell you from personal experience, anybody that is of my age or maybe a little older, you know, I have had hundreds of shaves at a barbershop. I've had hundreds of haircuts at a real barbershop in a real one of those old fashioned heavy 400 pound chairs that lay you back. And I've had that hot towel and I've had the hot lather. And I've got to tell you, it's one of the best experiences a man can ever have. If you've never experienced it, I encourage you. It's like anything else. It's like, you know, trying sushi for the first time or getting a massage for the first time or whatever it is. It's one of those experiences you'll never forget. And if you can, it's one of those things that just changes your concept and your construct in your own environment just by doing it on a regular basis. Go get a shave once a month. Go get a haircut and a shave and have somebody else do it and feel super pampered and taken care of as a man. And I don't care if you're, you know, 400 pound linebacker or you're a 50 pound wimp. It doesn't matter. It's still fun and you should do
Absolutely. Every man should experience what a old school hot towel, lather, straight razor shave feels like, whether it's on their head and they're bald like me or on their face. Once you experience it, you're not likely to want to go back to doing to yourself again. Come see what's like.
Well, Cebu, thank you so much for being a part of our show. I am so glad we got connected. I am so happy. Get on the website today, guys. Buy some product. If you're in Maryland, go buy. Tell Cebu, hey, I heard you on Mind Your Own Business. And hey, who knows? He might give you a free hot towel shave. Who knows?
You never know. You never know.
Well, thank you for being here today. I really appreciate it. And any final parting words before we sign off?
I just want to thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. It's just something that I can't wait to look, you know, back on and remember this day in the future. You know, one day, hopefully I'll have 100 locations and I can recall back to the first time I was on your show. And hopefully we'll be talking about laughing about it. And, you know, when I'm saying, hey, we're opening up our 105th store next week, and you just wanted to be on your show again. So,
I can hardly wait. And absolutely, you've been a nothing but a pleasure. I'm so glad that you're here. Like I say every week, guys, mind your own business. Nobody else is going to. Thanks for being here. I'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to Mind Your Own Business right here on inspirednewsradio.com. Thanks for tuning in each week as we interview some of the greatest CEOs and entrepreneurs in the world. You can reach us on Twitter at INR Talk Radio. Always use the hashtag MYOB for Mind Your Own Business. Make sure you stop by and check out all of the past episodes and all the great things that are available on our website, www.inspirednewsradio. There's great resources there that you can find for all of our other shows too. Thanks for being a part of the Inspired News Radio family. Until next week, remember to mind your own business.